Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back in. Final 30 minutes here on a Sunday night as we get ready for Sunday night football, the Chiefs and the Bills. We'll go around the NFL coming up at 7:20. We'll get a pick in on the game before we get out of here. And right now, we go to the WadeFord.com hotline, and we welcome in Roddy Nabalsi, UGASports.com. You hear him on with Andy and Randy a lot, and he's kind enough to give us a couple of minutes here on a Sunday night. Roddy, what's going on? Thanks for the time.
Not too much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So, I mean, you've covered this team for long enough, and you know this sport inside and out. Can you explain to me how a defense like Georgia is able to hold teams to like 5-6 points a game in the modern era of college football? How are they doing it? Like, I know they have dudes, but how are they doing it?
Well, it's just really the best combination of the front seven that I've seen in my time at Georgia. And, you know, I was here for Stroud and Seymour and, you know, Geno Atkins and, you know, guys like that. I've covered Ray Drew extensively. Just, I mean, absolute difference makers, but it's been tough for Georgia to have a Kwame Gathers and a John Jenkins on the field at the same time. They did it 1 year, and those guys played together, you know, very sparingly. I think it was just that one season, and a lot of those guys were focused on getting to the NFL. So I remember Garrison Smith talked about that team, and he said, look, we got a lot of guys who will not hoe their own row. In other words, if they had an A-gap responsibility, they had a B-gap responsibility, and they thought the play was going somewhere else, and they'd freelance over there trying to get their numbers up. These guys play for each other, and I don't want to come across something like a coach or some, you know, cliche-ridden writer, but they literally trust each other to do the job. So if you're not supposed to crash inside, you don't crash inside. You know, if your job is to pick up a guy in the flat and you don't think the ball's going his way, you still go pick up the guy in the flat, even if it's not going to result in your name getting called out over the loudspeaker. So the selflessness, Matt, is big. The talent level is big. I've never seen defensive ends this fast, outside linebackers this fast. You've got two sub-4.6 guys in Adam Anderson and Nolan Smith. Well, when did Georgia have two of those at the same time? You know, when have you had a Jordan Davis and a Devontae Wyatt and, a couple – my first and second round cornerbacks to replace the two first and second round cornerbacks you lost last year. So it's just a unreal amount of that is met. You're right. This is a offensive era of football, but your talent at Georgia outmatches their talent scheme on offense. And that's why they're shutting people down.
Roddy, I'm curious, you know, we watched last night late into the wee hours of the night, Texas A&M knock off Alabama with Zach Calzada at quarterback. I don't know how the quarterback thing's going to shake out for Georgia, if it's going to be JT next week or whatever. But if the situation arises where it's Stetson Bennett against Alabama in Atlanta, did last night prove that Stetson Bennett is capable of beating Alabama as well if Zach Calzada can?
Absolutely. He was the only guy to take a lead into the halftime against Alabama last year. This is a guy who did it without the weapons he has around him now. You know, this is a guy who can do it. And it's funny, we talk about, you know, Bo Nix getting better. We talk about, you know, Jamari Sawyer getting better, or Broderick Jones getting better, you know, the redshirt freshman left tackle that came in for Georgia when they needed him yesterday. Apparently, everybody can get better at their job except Stetson Bennett. You know, apparently he can't grow, he can't get better, he can't develop. This is a guy who beat a ranked Auburn team last year in his first start. He beat a bunch of other teams. he was up 14-0 on Florida until somebody threw him on his shoulder and messed him up pretty badly. And he had a lead on Alabama. Now Alabama came back just like they did last night on against Texas A&M, but Zach Calzada, an absolute warrior, you know, saw him go into the tent, came out and was able. They were able to put that game away. Stetson Bennett, with this kicking game, this punting game, and this defense, you're going to have to drive 75 yards against Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, Jalen Carter, a first-round draft pick, if there was one. He's probably the best player on defense. We don't even talk about it.
Right.
Good luck driving against them with your sub-Alabama standard offense. And this is not a shot against them, but Reese Davis, we had him on our show the other day, and he said, look, mm-hmm. this isn't the Alabama of last year. This isn't the Alabama of 2019 or 2018. And they're not. They're still good, but they're not going to be able to move as well against this Georgia defense. So all you need is Stetson Bennett to keep them honest with the run and get the ball into the hands of the guys that can get downfield.
Speaking of Reese Davis, College Game Day will be in Athens next week for Georgia and Kentucky. I would expect a very low-scoring game between these two teams. Kentucky, surprisingly undefeated. Are you buying into the Wildcats next week?
I am not. I actually thought LSU would give them a much harder time, and that's not a shot against Kentucky. I think what Stoops is doing up there is fantastic, but I just don't think – And again, I'm the person that said Clemson was going to beat Georgia. I'm the person that said Arkansas was going to be able to move the ball and score on them, at least some. I thought UAB was going to give Georgia fits just because of I didn't think they were going to win, but I just thought, hey, look, this is a good UAB team. I've been the person not giving Georgia a ton of credit just because I know that its secondary is suspect. There's some real questions when you throw the ball deep. And they've had so many guys on the offense out. I mean, I put out a list last night of 14 or 15 players that are right now injured for Georgia who cannot play. Seven of them are starters. This is a team that's number one in the nation without seven starters. But each time that I've doubted them, Georgia has answered the bell. And I thought Auburn would be a much closer game. They drubbed Auburn. Kentucky is going to run into a buzzsaw this weekend because Georgia is playing to a different standard. They're not playing to, hey, we're going to worry about Kentucky. We're going to do this for Auburn. This mm-hmm. is what we do for UAB. This is what we do for Vandy. They're playing a playoff entrance game every week. And I don't know how long they can maintain that mentality, that dedication, that focus. It's really hard to do that week after week. But so far, I have seen it every weekend when they take the field. There's not been a moment where they've been down, and I just don't see Kentucky coming in and stopping them.
Roddy Nabalsi joining us here at UGASports.com. Two more for you, Roddy, and then we'll let you get on out of here. When you look at the new rankings that came out today, Georgia number one, Iowa two, Cincinnati three, Oklahoma four, followed by Alabama at five. I'm wondering, how much of a gap do you think there is from Georgia to whoever the second-best team in college football is right now?
Well, last week I put out a tweet that basically had Alabama and Georgia at the top, and then I skipped down about 60 characters and said, you know, 3 through 25. I'm not trying to be a homer for Georgia. You just see what that defense is. Again, they've given up 33 points the entire season. Six games in, they've given up 33 points. They scored 34 yesterday, so this is a team unlike anything I've ever seen at Georgia. Iowa is still really, really good. Cincinnati, that Georgia had to face last year, had to kick a field goal in the waning seconds to beat a Cincinnati team. I think basically you take your top three, top four, and the jump between not so much one and the rest of them, but the top three, well, I'll say top five, because Alabama's still really good. You caught them on a down night. But from 5 to 6 on to 25, that is a huge chasm. It's going to take a lot of teams. A lot of teams won't be able to jump that chasm.
Final one for you. When you look at we know defensively this defense is just otherworldly, but I don't think we've come close to hitting the ceiling on what this team is capable of on the offensive side of the ball. What do you think the ceiling is for this Georgia offense if and when all the pieces are in place?
Well, let's say you could get back a Tate Radley. It's not that you can because he's out for the year, but let's say the guy that spent all spring working at guard and then was able to, you know, he went all fall camp working at guard, you still have to replace him. Warren Erickson's working there, but Warren's, you know, coming off of a broken hand. and he doesn't quite have the size, but if you could move Jamari Sawyer over there and leave Brandon, you know, leave your big left tackle over there, you know, Broderick Jones over there, that gives you something special. Now, look at the last two games where Georgia's needed to run the ball. They had Darnell Washington back, big zero, that giant tight end, 6'7", 265 pounds, and sometimes around 280. He kind of varies in that weight range there. Years ago, he'd have been made into an offensive tackle, but he's a big tight end who can flex out, catch the ball. You got him back, and you saw how the running game changed. Now let's say you get back a George Pickens. Let's not even get that advantageous. Let's just say you get back Jermaine Burton, who is out. You know, your leading receiver from last year. You get back Marcus Rosemead, Jack Saints, you know, a guy who's ridiculously talented. You have a world-class caliber sprinter in Arian Smith. He's played, two and a half games? Let's say you get him back. And then right at the end of the season, you get back George Pickens, who's probably one of the top wide receivers in the draft. He is. I should say one of the top wide receivers in the draft. If he comes back, and remember, he traveled to that Auburn game. Maybe a troll move on Kirby's part, but really it was to go see Dr. Andrews. So let's say Dr. Andrews gives him the thumbs up. He can come back for a Florida game or shortly thereafter. I mean, you had a backup quarterback throwing to Ladd McConkey, a guy that a lot of people didn't even know was on the team.
Right.
And the kid had 135 yards. They're doing it with backups and walk-ons on offense. Let them do it with their five-star guys and see what this offense turns into.
Yep. Very good point. Roddy, great stuff. I appreciate the time on a Sunday. Thanks for popping on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You got it. Roddy Nabalsi, UGASports.com. Talking some dogs as the new rankings come out today. Georgia, number one, followed by Iowa, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and Alabama falls from number one to number five. At this very moment, on the outside looking in for the college football playoff. Of course, we know that is really irrelevant at this point because we got so much more to go this season. 404-741-0929. If you guys have any thoughts on what Roddy had to say about the dogs, we'll rock those calls on the other side if you want to chime in. But coming up next, we will go around the NFL. Thoughts and takeaways from all of the games, including what is shaping up to be a wild finish in Los Angeles. We'll give you the details coming up next here on the Nick Kale Show. All right, welcome back. Final segment here on a Sunday night before we hand it off to Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs, the Bills, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Chris Collinsworth sliding into your living rooms from right to left across your television set. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for this game. Rematch of the AFC Championship, best on best, two great quarterbacks. I mean, every week with Sunday Night Football, it's just been must-see TV. From Brady versus Belichick, Allen versus Mahomes, every game just seems to go down to the wire. And we get an unbelievable game. All right, let's go around the NFL. Some thoughts on all of the games. We'll start with the games in progress, and then we'll work our way back to all the games from the 1 o'clock slate today. The Chargers and the Browns right now are having like a Big 12 college football shootout. I feel like I'm watching in my studio here, like I'm watching Oklahoma, Texas. It is the Chargers 47, the Browns 42, 41 seconds to go. And I think what we are seeing in this game and big picture, Justin Herbert, bona fide, verified, certified rock star. Like this guy, some people actually tried to make the case, and there was a case to be made, that he underachieved at Oregon. And that there were some question marks about him when the Chargers drafted him. Dude, this guy's been a grand slam. The Chargers on their way to maybe 4-1 if they can get a stop here against the Browns, who have been equally as good with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, Baker Mayfield in kind of more of a game manager type role. I still think the AFC runs through Kansas City until proven otherwise. But Cleveland, LA, certainly Buffalo, AFC's got some legit horses. And they got some quarterbacks right now. You're seeing a shift here, a change of the guard. Like Tom Brady and Roethlisberger and Breeze and Rivers and Manning, like Matt Ryan, we're starting to see the new wave. Guys like Justin Herbert, who's only in his fifth game of year two. So Chargers lead 47-42. Cardinals leading the 49ers 17-10. 2 minutes to go in that game. Cardinals, with a win, improved to 5-0. And if I'm looking at this correctly, they would be the only undefeated team in the NFL still. Yes, that is correct. I don't think they're the best team. In fact, I don't even think they're top two or three in the NFC. I think when we get to the playoffs, I would still go Tampa Bay. I would probably still go Green Bay. I know they beat the Rams, but I like the Rams collectively more than the Cardinals. But damn, the Cardinals are fun to watch. Kyler Murray, speaking of young rock star quarterbacks, could very well be in the running, if not the leader right now, for the MVP. He's been flawless. The Cowboys leading the Giants 34-20, 2 minutes to go. The Cowboys on their way to going to 4-1. Now all of a sudden, Mike McCarthy looks like a functional head coach again because he's got a quarterback in Dak Prescott. Giants ravaged by injuries. Saquon Barkley, he was knocked out of the game. New York on their way to 1-4. So those are the late games still in progress. I thought there was one other 4 o'clock game. Oh, yeah, Raiders and Bills. That game has gone final. The Bears upset the Raiders. Justin Fields gets a victory. Chicago now, all of a sudden, 3-2. And Chicago with Justin Fields have won 2 games in a row. Oh, what a shock. The audacity of the Bears social media department to tweet out QB1 for Andy Dalton back in May. Like, who are you kidding? Seriously. And John Gruden takes an L, as John Gruden should, after what came out Friday night. So the Bears now 3-2. The earlier games today, let's go through them. Eagles beat the Panthers comeback fashion. They were down 15-3. Sam Darnold looked like he was on his way to 4-1. And then Jalen Hurts rallies the Eagles for a victory despite the ineptitude of rookie head coach Nick Sirianni. Eagles 21, Panthers 18. Good for the Falcons. Carolina has now lost 2 in a row. Great one in the early window, probably the best one in the early window, maybe the equivalent of Cleveland and LA in the late window. Packers, Bengals, both teams enter 3-1. Green Bay wins 25-22 in overtime. They get to 4-1. Bengals drop to 3-2 in a game where legitimately neither kicker wanted to win the game. Mason Crosby, believe it or not, hit his first 3 field goals, then missed his next 3 field goals, and then hit the game winner in overtime. Packers were just out there kicking field goals all day. And Mason Crosby is a great kicker, but he legitimately started getting the shanks. And then the Bengals had a chance to win it with a field goal, and they missed. Once again, kickers, they will shorten your lifespan. Packers victorious. And now Green Bay's won 4 in a row after Aaron Rodgers week 1 looked like he was left for dead and should have been just chilling in Hawaii on a surfboard with his like half a mullet flapping in the breeze. Everybody wanted to overreact. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay's going to be fine. They're going to end up with 12 wins like they always do. They'll lose to Tom Brady, but you know, they'll win 12 games. Patriots come back. They beat the Texans 25-22. Davis Mills all of a sudden out there looking like Deshaun Watson on a Sunday. New England rallies. They get a victory. I was thinking letdown. Especially after the Tom Brady game last week, but they get it going. They win 25-22. Titans dismantle the Jaguars 37-19. Urban Meyer remains winless. Urban Meyer's probably at a bar right now getting grinded on by a 25-year-old. Derrick Henry keeps grinding on Jacksonville. Tennessee's 3-2. The Vikings victorious over the Lions today 19-17 in a game that looked like nobody wanted to win. I hate the NFC North. Short of the Packers, it's unwatchable. I don't know how Dan Campbell's a head coach in the NFL, but he is. Kirk Cousins without Dalvin Cook. But they get a win. They get to 2-3. Steelers get a win. They go to 2-3. They beat the Broncos 27-19. Denver with Teddy Bridgewater starting to come back to earth a little bit. Ben Roethlisberger actually threw the ball vertically down the field today. Surprise, surprise. Pittsburgh winners by 8. Tom Brady and the Bucs roll the Dolphins 45-17. We will get the Dolphins in 2 weeks, 14 days to get ready for Jacoby Brissett. Tom Brady now 4-1 with Tampa Bay. And the Saints improved to 3-2. We'll see them in a couple of weeks as well. They beat the Washington football team 33-22. So there are your scores from around the National Football League. All right, Sunday Night Football coming up shortly. I'll give you a pick on that game. I gave it to you yesterday on the show. I like the Chiefs tonight -2.5. I think Kansas City's the better team. I know everybody wants to say that Buffalo might be the best team in football, but it's at Arrowhead. It's Patrick Mahomes. I'm taking the Chiefs until proven wrong. Give me Kansas City -2.5. I think they win. I think they get the cover. They win by 3 or more. Tomorrow, Braves game 3 against the Brewers. Ian Anderson against Peralta. Ian Anderson, small favorite, -115 at home. But I'm looking at my sports betting app, and about 59% of the public are on the Brewers, despite the fact the Braves are favored. If you want to throw a little shekels on the Braves, I think there's a little value there getting Ian Anderson at -115 odds. All right, so that will do it for us here on a Sunday evening. All right, a lot of people to thank before we get out of here. Thanks to my producer, Caleb Johnson. Fantastic job by him. We got to thank Bo Morgan, Roddy Nabulsi, and also Smoke and Joe Patrick for stopping by here on a Sunday. Great weekend of sports. Atlanta, Falcons win. Braves get a win. Dogs are number one. Wild day of college yesterday. Wild day of the NFL today. I don't know about you, but I'm shot. I'm spent. I'm cooked. I'm going to go watch Sunday Night Football in my underwear and have a cold one. Have a great rest of your Sunday, Atlanta. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.